Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 25, and we're going to be taking a look at verses 12 through 21 this morning. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways that they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve my troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. The word of God for the people of God. You know, a recent survey of about 20,000 U.S. adults found that nearly half suffer from feelings of loneliness. That's right, only 53% of those surveyed felt like they had meaningful daily face-to-face social interactions. The other 47% said they didn't. And they also discovered that the younger a person is, the more lonely they feel. Now, in this age of connectedness, why is this happening? Why is it that we can talk to somebody in the other side of the city, on the other side of the state, on the other side of the country, and on the other side of the world easier than we've ever been able to, and yet more people than ever feel lonely and isolated? What is it that is happening in the hearts of our people? And I'll take it a step further. What are the repercussions of this loneliness? If you're here this morning and you feel lonely, you probably know what some of the repercussions are, right? And how do we find our way out of it? Oftentimes, people who feel they're lonely wonder if they're the only ones who feel that way. Anybody ever struggle with that? And yet what we find is that this is a problem that is impacting millions upon millions. In fact, so much so that businesses have begun to take notice. Over on the other side of the world, in Belgium, one of the hotels there has in an effort to combat the loneliness that people come in who are staying by themselves, they allow you to rent a fish. So you can take that fish in a little fish bowl to your hotel room and have something to look at, something to talk to. And people are taking pictures with their fish, and it makes them smile and it makes them happy, because all of a sudden, what? They're not alone. You know, in the 70s, a UCLA football coach, he spoke of they were having a terrible season. And he said, you know, when your team's good, it's easy to have friends. When your team stinks, nobody wants to talk to you at all. He said, my friends were far and few. I couldn't find anybody. I said to my wife, I have my loyal dog, I said, I've got two friends. And he was thinking, I've got my wife and I've got my dog. Well, she went out and got him a second dog. You know, feeling that loneliness can happen to anybody of all walks of life. In Kansas City, there was a newspaper in the ad that said, for $5, I will listen to you speak for 30 minutes without interrupting you. That seems crazy, right? Who would pay to have a complete stranger listen to them? And yet, this person received about 20 calls a day asking for people to come and be able to share and speak with them, and they were willing to pay. I think the person who placed the ad could have charged maybe $15, $20 and really made some money. But people will do anything to escape the pain of loneliness. And it's so sharp, that pain, that they will try all kinds of creative avenues to find true companionship. You see, the lonely heart is a troubled heart that seems to cause every day to be cloudy and every moment to feel a little more empty. And it is a condition which even faithful men and women of God have trouble escaping. Why is it so hard to escape loneliness? I think, and I've listed four reasons, there's lots more than four, but loneliness causes isolating behavior. And this doesn't make sense, right? If you think if you're lonely, what should you do? You should go find as many people as you can and be around them and have fun. But who wants to go into a crowd of people when you already feel lonely where you're not going to know anybody? What do you do instead? You stay home. You avoid situations like that. See, loneliness causes you to do isolating behavior. Also, loneliness convinces us that we are broken. That somehow there's something wrong with us. Like, why do I feel this way? Why doesn't anyone like me? Why don't I have any friends? Why can't I connect with anybody? And we feel broken, like we're the problem, because we feel lonely. Loneliness also saps us of strength. Right? The more lonely we feel, the more isolated we feel, the more fatigued we get. And the less of a reason we have to get up in the morning. And loneliness also creates in us a judgmental heart. And that's because if I'm lonely, and I look at the family down the road that seems to not be as lonely as me, well, I start saying, well, at least my car is better than theirs. At least my house is nicer than theirs. Look, I keep my yard mowed. Look, there's all the weeds everywhere. You know, we start comparing ourselves and we start to get a judgmental spirit because we're breaking. And rather than look at that and rather than own that and bring Christ into that, we look at everybody else and point out their flaws. Warren Wiersbe had this to say about loneliness. Like many other feelings in our lives, it is easier to experience it than define it. Loneliness is being all by yourself, even when you are surrounded by people. Loneliness is a feeling of isolation, even in the midst of a crowd. You feel unwanted, unneeded, and as though you have nothing to live for. You feel as though nobody really cares anymore. That's loneliness. Loneliness eats away at the inner person. It puts up a wall around you, no matter how free you may be. That's what happens with a lonely heart. Can you relate to any of that this morning? Can you think of a time in your life where maybe you were able to relate to that? A season of loneliness that you went and that you had to go through. And do you feel as though you're not going to be able to escape it? I want you to know, if you feel that way this morning, I've got some good news for you. You're not alone in feeling lonely, and God has a path for us to be able to escape the loneliness that we struggle with in life. And so I want to highlight three things from this passage for you that'll point to how do we deal with our loneliness. The first one is this: your loneliness is not a symptom of unfaithfulness. I want you to hear that this morning. Your loneliness is not a symptom of unfaithfulness. Our enemy, the devil, we talked about this on Wednesday night Bible study, he goes around like a roaring lion seeking to devour whoever he can. One of the things he tries to do when we feel lonely is to make us feel like it's a lack of faith on our part. That somehow we're not only is there something wrong with us and we're broken, but also we're disappointing God by feeling lonely, and therefore we are under this false conviction that is not of the Holy Spirit, this condemnation, and then we walk around and we don't even feel like we can go talk to God about it because we're ashamed that we feel lonely. Your loneliness is not a symptom of unfaithfulness. Listen to David's words. What does he say in verse 16? Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely. For I am afflicted. Now skip up to verse, not skip back. go backwards to verse 12, what does he say? Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways that they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides, you know, really it implies he reveals his mysteries to those who fear him, and he makes his covenant, his mysteries known to them. Okay? How does God describe David? A man after his own heart. And yet here David says, I know I'm a man after your own heart, Lord, but I feel alone. I feel afflicted. I feel lonely. My friends, if David can feel lonely, it's okay if you feel lonely. It's not a sign of sin that you feel lonely. Notice David doesn't repent for feeling lonely. David doesn't ask for forgiveness for feeling lonely. No, he says, Lord, help me in my loneliness. Help me in my despair. Come to my aid. Loneliness is not a symptom of unfaithfulness. You can be one of the most faithful people in the world and still feel lonely at times. The question for us is, what do we do with our loneliness? That's what shapes our faith. That's what defines who we are. David was somebody who had such a close walk and relationship with God that he implies and experiences the Lord confiding in him and revealing his mysteries to him. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you've never felt like you've had that kind of close connection with the Lord, where he has confided in you, where he has shared unique truth about your life, about his word, and about his plan and his covenant. I want you to know that kind of relationship with God is available to anyone. But here you've got somebody who has that level of intimacy saying, I feel alone. I feel like I'm in this all by myself. Jeremiah, when he felt alone, you know what he said to the Lord? Your words to me, God, are like a deceitful brook. You say one thing and I experience another. Isaiah felt alone. Ezekiel felt alone. Go through the Old Testament prophets and you will hear cries of desperation and loneliness in each and every one of them. Jesus, when he was in the garden, he asked the disciples to stay awake, and what did they do? They fell asleep. He said, can't you stay awake for at least a few hours? He felt alone. God knows what it's like. Don't ever allow the enemy to convince you that your loneliness is a symptom of unfaithfulness, because that gets you on the wrong track. That gets you on the path toward trying to fix yourself. And we talked about that in the last 2 weeks, that anytime we try and fix ourselves, and instead of relying on God to work within us, that we are going to fail every time. Loneliness is not a symptom of unfaithfulness. Also, your loneliness, so if it's not a symptom of that, I want you to know there's a great opportunity that comes with loneliness. Your loneliness is always an opportunity to grow in faith. Every time, loneliness is an opportunity to grow in faith. We see it time and time again in the scriptures. Notice what David does in his lonely state. He's cried out to God. He says, I am lonely. Turn to me. Be gracious to me. He goes on to say, relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from all my sins. See how numerous my enemies are. They're all around me. They're trying to overcome me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame. Notice what he's doing. He's praying. He's saying, Lord, come intervene in this. You see the situation I feel. You see me surrounded by my enemies. You see that I have no one to turn to for help. I have no contemporary. I have no confidant. The closest friend he ever had was killed years ago in Jonathan. David's on his own here. And he says, Lord, I'm lonely, afflicted, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek. And I'm going to bring you into this matter of my loneliness. And I'm going to ask you to intervene on my behalf. I'm going to ask you to work in my situation. I'm going to ask you to make yourself known to me in this present life. Not just in theory, not just in the spiritual way, but in the physical realm, I want to see you make yourself known. You see, David knew that even in the depths of despair, that you can go to God. And rather than when we feel lonely or whenever we feel depressed, rather than running from God in shame, we should run to God because He is the one who holds all the answers. There is no problem that you face, I said this a few weeks ago, that Jesus Christ is not the answer to. Period. Whether you're here this morning and you're worried about finances, whether you're here this morning and you're worried about what the future may hold, it all begins with fearing the Lord and allowing Him to instruct you in your ways, trusting Him. You see, with every pain comes an opportunity to not only cry out to God, but also to experience His grace through Jesus Christ. You see, Christ will provide you with a sober assessment. Notice what David's done. He said, look at me. Look at my life. Look at my enemies. They're everywhere. But as he prays, notice where he gets to. May your integrity, in verse 21, and your uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. He's able to see that his situation is not too big for God. Whatever situation you're facing this morning, it is not too big for God. It is never too big for Him to come to your aid, for Him to reveal His will. Christ also invites you to explore your inner hurts. You know, He talks about feeling lonely and afflicted. He also talks about He asks God to relieve the troubles of his heart. The thing I love most about David, and if you read the Psalms, and if you read other places in Scripture where he speaks, what you see is a man who wasn't afraid to own his mistakes and to be real with God about his condition. He says, Lord, I'm broken. Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I feel lonely. Lord, I feel angry. It doesn't matter what emotion he feels. He just takes it before God, and he says, I need your help with this. Christ invites us to do the same thing, to explore our inner hurts. You know, we're pretty good about looking at sin and saying, oh yeah, we shouldn't do this or we shouldn't do that. We're not so good at dealing with what's in here. I talked to somebody just this week who had a family member who is in no way connected to our church, And they said, you know, I'm trying to get them to come and talk to somebody, and they feel like it's a sign of weakness. That they feel like if they were to go and talk to a counselor, if they were to go talk to a therapist, if they were even to come talk to a pastor, that it makes them feel weak, and so they're not going to do it. Somewhere along the way, we allowed Satan to convince us of that nonsense. But that's not of God. Would any of us call the guy who slew Goliath weak? Would any of us call the guy who commanded an army and wiped out thousands weak? And yet here he is saying, I'm broken. I'm afflicted. I'm hurt. Come to my aid. Come and help me. Christ invites us to explore your inner hurts. He also empowers you to confront your distress. Notice what he says. Relieve my troubled heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and distress and take away my sins. Look at the multitude around me. Whether his distress is coming from within or from without, he says, Lord, I know you can help me with it all. Christ can help you with it all today. Whether the cause of your discomfort, the cause of your worry, the cause of your doubt, whether it's coming from within your heart or whether it's coming from something going on out there in the world, Christ can help you to confront all your distress. And then also Christ can provide healing for it. Christ provides healing to your troubled heart. Notice David affirms what he wants to get to. He says, I want to know the secret counsel of God. I want him to be somebody that God, I want to be someone who God confides in. That's what the kind of relationship we can have with God. But I'm in anguish, I'm in distress. And then how does he end? I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I'm going to praise you ahead of time for the solution you're going to bring. I'm going to praise you that though my enemies seem numerous, I know that you are more powerful than anything this world or the enemy can ever throw my way. That's the power of Christ in you. And we see already the healing that comes to his troubled heart. We talked about this the last few weeks. The Holy Spirit does that in us. He helps us to get to the bottom of what's truly going on so that we can be transformed and truly healed. And that leads us to our last thought. Your loneliness is an opportunity to glorify God. It's an opportunity to see God glorified. There's nothing more amazing than to see someone who is hurt, to see someone who is wounded be transformed by the power, mercy, and blood of Jesus Christ. We think about that as, yes, they were able to overcome sin. Yes, they were able to turn their life around. It's much more than that. It's just as remarkable to see a lonely heart restored as it is to see a person addicted to drugs break free from it. It's just as remarkable to see someone who battles depression find freedom from that as it is to see someone to be able to turn away from gossiping about others. Your loneliness is an opportunity to glorify God. You know, I'm reminded of that beautiful hymn that was written years ago by Charles A. Miles called In the Garden. And what does he say? I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's what David encountered in this passage. When he felt lonely, he didn't run from God, he ran to God. If you're feeling lonely today, remember this. There's a great poem by St. Patrick called Lyrica of St. Patrick. You've probably heard it because of its most famous verse. He says, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me. Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down. Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me. Christ in every ear that hears me. I share that with you to let you know you're never alone. Christ is with you. He goes before you. And you can go to him in your loneliness. And there's an opportunity there for you. An opportunity for you to grow closer to him than maybe you ever have before. And to see God be given all the glory as he leads you out of that loneliness and into a fellowship of godly people all around you. And I'll leave you with one last thought. Verse 22, it says, deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. You notice the whole time David's been talking about himself. Now all of a sudden he includes all of Israel in it. He says, Lord, don't just deliver me, deliver the whole nation. He found his way to community. And we need that too. One of the greatest gifts of church community is having brothers and sisters that we can look to, and in our times of distress and our times of anguish, we can go to each other. We can lean on each other. We can depend on each other. We need that. And when we're feeling lonely, we need it even more. You know, I spoke with a man this week, and he talked about making a move from one city to another, and he said the hardest thing was finding friends. He said, while this is a big city, it's hard to find friends. It was easier for me than my wife because I'm an extrovert and she's an introvert. And so we said, let's just start praying. Let's just start praying for you to find a friend. And so he just started praying. And then she said, I'm going to take it a step further. One of my best friends in high school, this is a white woman, and she said, one of my best friends in high school was a black woman. So I'm going to ask God if he can give me a black friend. And the husband thought, well, that is very strange. I mean, can't we just pray for one friend? I mean, before we start praying for specifics like that, can't we just get you one? Well, they started praying. And wouldn't you know it, she met a friend, a couple that they've now become friends with, who is black. And they're best friends, and it's like they've known each other for years. God answers prayers, my friends. If you're here and you're feeling lonely, start praying the way David did. Start asking for his help. Start asking for his intervention. And trust and believe that God is capable to bring you life into even the most darkest of situations. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would be with us in our loneliness. Be with us in our hurt. You know, sometimes we can struggle with knowing how to come to you when we feel lonely because we feel like we're not supposed to feel that way. And we're not bold in our prayers. Lord, help us to be willing to bring that loneliness to you, to give that loneliness to you, and to pray to have a godly community, to pray to have friends in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, to be willing to trust that you can answer in all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.